happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And in the news this week, there was solidarity with Brittany Griner from the White House to the WNBA All-Star Game.
And the NBA today. The National Suicide Prevention and Crisis Hotline is going live this weekend with special resources for LGBTQ people. You just have to dial 988.
The U.S. Extreme Court is mired in some more scandal.
You're so clever, Andy. A Texas court, again, put the brakes on investigation of parents seeking gender-affirming care for their trans kids.
Imagine a Texas court being less extreme. But a Tennessee court told Jews seeking adoption services from a Christian agency to go take a hike.
Well, what were they thinking? Come on. Republicans have nominated an out lesbian for lieutenant governor in New York. That's Republicans nominating an out lesbian.
We don't know her, but we're trying to learn about her. Anti-LGBTQ activists vandalized a building site for a Boston residence for LGBTQ seniors that's under construction, threatening to burn it down.
You'd think they'd wait till it was built first. A gay scandal, it turns out, was one of the things that brought down the British prime minister.
It was the straw that broke the camel's back there. Slovenia was ordered to institute marriage equality, a first in Eastern Europe.
Biden and his FDA are being chided for failure to get millions of monkeypox vaccines we bought here from Denmark.
This is a real disgrace. And then we were going to show you the first non-binary person on the cover of Vogue magazine.
We were or we are?
We are.
Okay. And we'll also give you the LGBTQ take on the Emmy nominations and bring you the sad news, or maybe not, they're still working on it, that the lesbian period drama Gentleman Jack has not been renewed by HBO.
Well, we start with Brittany Griner. It's been all over the news. She pled guilty to the charges of, carrying drugs with her. She faces 10 years in jail for this. They haven't sentenced her yet. She says they were in her luggage by mistake. She carried a picture of her wife into the courtroom. So she's been this apparently had to happen if we're going to start negotiating to get her out. And the WNBA All-Stars all wore the uniform of Brittany Griner over the weekend, showing solidarity with her, both teams in that. And as Ann just said, also, what happened in the NBA, Ann?
Well, first of all, the WNBA players at the All-Star Game changed uniforms at halftime to all put on uniforms with Brittany's number and name on them. And then today, as we tape on Wednesday, LeBron James came out with a statement supporting Brittany, although he got in a little trouble because he said the U.S. is not supporting her enough. And if I were her, I'd think twice about coming back here. And people said, whoa, wait a minute.
Whoa.
Many had to put out a statement saying, no, I love the U.S., blah, blah, blah. When she went to court, and I thought it was actually quite an interesting, elegant plea for her to say, look, I was just packing quickly and I put them in there by accident, whatever. It wasn't.
We're talking about trace amounts of a drug. She's not a drug trafficker. 10 years?
No. And a viewer actually had an interesting suggestion, which is that the WNBA, all these players play all over the world because they don't think they're paid enough by the WNBA. They're not paid, you know, tiny amounts, but certainly nowhere near their male counterparts. And so our viewer suggested, well, why don't the WNBA players boycott going to these other countries, particularly Russia, if this is the way they're going to be treated in Russia? And I thought that was a very, very interesting suggestion.
Yeah. I don't think they'll be picked up by Saudi Arabia.
Well, I don't think they should play for Saudi Arabia.
Of course.
But
unlike
that's
those damn golfers. All right. So Megan Rapinoe was one of 17 Americans to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom at the White House and had on her lapel that she was the suit she was wearing, embroidered with the letters BG for Brittany Griner. It was her show of solidarity.
Yeah, I think the writing there was something she put on her posting of this picture on Instagram or Facebook or wherever. But the embroidery was there on the jacket.
And she did receive the Medal of Freedom along with 17 others. And we just want to show you her getting the medal from President Biden.
Megan Rapinoe. World Cup champion, Olympic gold medalist, named the world's best women's soccer player, Megan Rapinoe is one of America's great athletes. Known for her creative play and leadership, she also leads with a fierce will off the field. A champion protecting the rights of fellow LGBTQI+ Americans. A leader on the U.S. women's soccer national team, perhaps the most dominant of any team in any sport in their successful fight for equal pay. Megan Rapinoe challenges and inspires millions of people who believe in themselves and the possibilities of our nation.
What you want about Joe Biden, but he picked a great group of 17 Americans to honor at that ceremony. It was quite moving.
Yeah, it took him a little while to get that fastened on her neck. But
I had trouble with some of those things, too. Anyway, not leaving Joe Biden, he spoke with the wife of Brittany Griner about U.S. efforts to free Brittany from the Russian jail. He also read Sherelle, the letter he wrote to Brittany in response to her plea to him. And in addition to all the support that she's getting in the WNBA, Brittany's team held a rally for her last Wednesday night in Phoenix.
And that letter from Biden to Brittany was handed to her in court when she was there, taking her guilty plea. So we'll obviously keep an eye on her. More and more people are understanding that we need to talk about Brittany Griner and keep that in the news.
And worse national news, we learned that the IRS under Trump allowed the Family Research Council, a right-wing advocacy group led by a guy named Tony Perkins, be classified as a church in order to be able to hide their donors. Trump made this guy Charles Rettig commissioner in 2018. He's still there. He's a Beverly Hills lawyer for the wealthy. His term expires in November, and they're looking for replacements.
And I hope so, because he also used him to punish his enemies with very deep audits. Religion is also infiltrating the Supreme Court in ways that we are just beginning to understand, because the a woman from the Liberty Council, which you know as one of their right-wing religious legal organizations that fights us at every turn and files suits everywhere, was caught on a hot mic telling Rolling Stone reported this, that she regularly prays with Supreme Court justices. The Supreme Court.
In chambers. And this has been going on since the late 1990s. with Scalia and Alito and Clarence Thomas.
They're grooming
the justices for the, you know, destruction of the wall of separation.
Well, if nothing else, it's a conflict of interest because they have cases before the Supreme Court all the time.
And more and more. Liberty Counsel had briefs on the Dobbs case that overturned Roe.
Absolutely. And every case involving us and everything else.
There is no code of ethics for Supreme Court justices. There is for lower court justices. If we're going to have a code of ethics, it has to be written by the Congress. Isn't this something people could agree on?
No.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean,
really?
It would apply to all justices, you know, and look, they're upset. They think our side, we don't know, leaked the Alito decision. But so, look, it should apply to everybody, and they should get it done, among other things, if this country is going to survive.
Why do they really care if the Alito decision was leaked? They put it out anyway and have the majority and have accomplished what they want accomplished. You know, no big deal it was leaked.
Well, two can play it well. Anyway, you heard that Justice Brett Kavanaugh was being protested outside a steakhouse and left by the back door. So Chasten Buttigieg tweeted, sounds like he just wanted some privacy to make his own dining decisions. And Pete defended him. Public officials need to respect the right to peacefully protest. And the court has never reined in the harassing protests of women as they go into abortion services. Protests are have been held outside the president's house forever.
Please. It's just ridiculous. And so
now there is a federal law that forbids demonstrations intended to sway judges in pending cases. But Dobbs, which they were protesting, is not a pending case.
And how do they feel about litigants praying with the justices inside the Supreme Court?
Exactly.
By the way, Pete and Chasten have made an interesting move, literally. They have left their home in Indiana to move to Michigan, Traverse City, which is Chasten's hometown. So the idea is for the kids to be near their grandparents. But it's also seen as a smart move politically because Michigan could be a better home ground for Pete to run for office.
It's a swing state.
Indiana. It is. It's a scary state. We're scared of losing Gretchen Whitmer as governor there and Dana Nessel as attorney general. But it shows more promise than Indiana these days.
We have told you that contraception is on Justice Thomas's chopping block. But this week, a company named HRA Pharma submitted its first ever application to the FDA to switch a progestin-only daily birth control pill from prescription to over-the-counter.
And welcome to the 21st century. A pharmacist refused to sell condoms to a married woman on the grounds that it was against his religion.
Condoms?
Condoms.
What about for disease protection? No, they're for that.
No, I think it's all for, he's smirking and trying to be cute about being against contraception of any sort.
Okay. All right.
By the way, religious right to do that.
By the way, in terms of politics and running for things, the Victory Fund has a new report out, Few and Under Fire, LGBTQ school board members in the United States. We're only 1% of school board members in the United States, and we're about 7% of the population. So we need 6,000 more. It's a tough job, they say. You will get yelled at. But the people who do it in our community are doing it to try to protect LGBTQ youth. Go to victoryinstitute.org. I'll give you the full link in the email.
Well, here's the kind of thing you can work on if you're on the school board. In Duval County, Florida, the school board canceled an anti-bullying video that was made by students for students. Because it contained, LGBTQ material. If you were on that school board, you might have been able to save that anti-bullying video.
In Pennsylvania, the Republican-dominated legislature passed an amendment to the state constitution saying it doesn't guarantee any rights to abortion or public funding of abortion. And they want, now, of course, with a constitutional amendment, there is no role for Governor Wolf, who's a Democrat. If the legislature passes it again, it goes to the voters. And if the voters elect extremist representative Governor Mastriano, they can ban abortion in law. Josh Shapiro is the Democratic nominee for governor there.
Wait, what you're saying is that there's no role for a governor in stopping it. But if the people pass it, then it empowers the governor to lead a legislative
law.
Ban.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. In New York, we missed this story. The running mate of anti-LGBTQ Republican nominee for governor, Lee Zeldin, versus Kathy Hochul, the Democrat, this woman is an out lesbian. Allison Esposito, of late a deputy inspector at Brooklyn's 70th Precinct. She thinks Republicans get a bad rap on the gay issue, even though their House members are 100% anti-LGBTQ. She says she wants equal protection under law. But Zeldin, the guy on the right, has voted against that.
He voted against marriage equality in New York State when he was part of the legislature here and has shown no inclination that I know of to be friendly to the LGBTQ community, but sees this as a gimmick to try to win some Democratic votes against Kathy Hochul.
It's an off year.
Plus a law and order candidate who's a former cop.
All right. Should we go to Texas?
No, we should go to the 988.
Absolutely.
So there has been a national suicide prevention hotline, or a regular phone number, but the powers that be have decided that's too complicated and too iffy for people to be able to access it. So they've created a new service called 988. The National Suicide Prevention and Crisis Hotline. It is not just about suicide prevention. If you are in distress, if you are in crisis, if you need mental health counseling, you can call 988 and be connected with a counselor. Now, this is a sort of decentralized system, even though it's a national number. The services are being provided by various nonprofits around the country. There's a little controversy about whether they've signed up enough counselors yet to take care of the expected call load.
The enabling legislation does mandate specialized services for LGBTQ youth, who are four times more at risk than their non-gay peers for taking their own lives. $7.2 million was appropriated for LGBTQ-focused organizations to be part of this network of people who are going to aid. And everybody who does the line, whether they're, you know, it's a gay, for a gay person, has to be trained on LGBTQ issues.
Well, when I first read about this, I thought, wait a minute, what about the Trevor Project and their hotline? How does this relate to that? And they, it turns out, are part of this system. They are going to be one of the referring agencies or agencies you get.
And if you if you care about our mental health, Congress, it would help if the Republican Party would stop assaulting LGBTQ youth with legislation and targeting them. That would help.
Well, that could be a good segue to another major story, the Texas court again shutting down an investigation of parents with trans kids and forbidding the Texas Department of
Protective Services,
Family and Protective Services, from investigating those parents. It's a temporary restraining order. It's in the case of a particular family, I think. So we keep winning these cases, but we're going to have to win them on a broader basis and get rid of this law or this mandate altogether. And the fact that this was decided by the Texas court has not prevented that great trans youth activist Kai Shapley from now leaving the state. She on the right there, she's 11 years old. She's been testifying to the Texas legislature since she was about five in support of herself and other trans kids.
That's her brother Caleb in the middle, 9 years old, and he was interviewed for a documentary, and he said, "We pray when people are in danger for them to be all okay. We pray for people not to take mom away in this case because she has a trans daughter. CPS wants to take Kai away because she is trans." So the mother heard this interview, right, of her son, and said, "I can't keep doing this to my kids. The damage has already been done." So Kai set up a garage sale to raise some money. There was a big GoFundMe thing, and they're getting a van and they're a mobile home, I think, and they got a lot of support, and they are heading for the hills.
And who can blame them?
Right.
So good luck to them, and thank you for all the work you've done so far in lobbying for safety for trans kids. And we'll look for more news about them. But meanwhile, this is a good court decision in Texas temporarily.
Another mother-daughter story. In Florida, a 13-year-old girl wearing a bi pride flag was arrested by police at a demonstration in Lakeland protesting Florida's restrictive abortion law. So Rain Johnson, 13, called after her, her mother called after Rain that mom is right behind you as the police placed her in a squad car. Let's show
Lily.
Lily, just don't resist. Lily, don't resist, honey. It's okay. I got you. What is the state statute? Lily, you're okay, bug. I got you. Mom's right behind you. You're okay. Don't resist.
My name's Renew, 7-6.
What's their name?
Oh, they have to tell you that.
All right. Hey, guys, bring in the law.
Hey, you're okay, bug. Mom's right here. Lily, you're okay.
What's your name, sir? What's your name, sir?
What statute?
Don't hit me. That video was posted by Nikki Fried, who was running against Ron DeSantis for governor. And she was saying she got permission from the mother to post it. And she said, "I need everyone to see what Ron DeSantis' Florida looks like. 13-year-olds being arrested for protesting for their own freedom." And Rain
and
was
taken to jail and questioned without her mother present or a lawyer and charged with, you know, a sound permit violation for using a bullhorn without a permit.
Rain, the daughter, was charged under the new anti-protest law for being noisy. Rain, as soon as she got out, she joined another protest.
She identifies as bisexual. Also in Florida, in Davenport, Florida, the federal government is coming in the person of HUD, the Housing and Urban Development Department, to prosecute an RV park owner who is charged with anti-trans discrimination after sending a letter to a resident of the RV park saying, "You have got to, this is a trans woman, and the letter says, you must act, talk, and dress like a man." A letter from the RV park owner.
Well, you know, again, people wonder where all this comes from, and there's always been prejudice. But this stuff is ginned up 24 hours a day on the Fox network, which these people watch. And then they get the idea that these are our enemies and we must about them. We must go to pride parades. We must, you know, shut down trans people. That's where it's all coming from.
Well, it's not only ugly, it is extremely dangerous, and it's getting worse. And all you have to do is watch these January 6th committee hearings and the details about how people are provoked to violence and how desperate they get and how ginned up to that hysteria that with their guns and grenades. They brought grenades to the Capitol, too, to see what is coming down on us. This is not just a simple debate about our right to exist. This is really dangerous territory.
Watch your backs. But things are a bit milder in Vermont. Becca Ballant, the out lesbian candidate for the state's one U.S. House seat, got a boost in her primary bid with an endorsement from Senator Bernie Sanders, who once held that seat himself.
Well, good. The Match Group, which is the company that owns the Match, Tinder, OkCupid dating sites, was caught out donating tens of thousands of dollars to Republican candidates who are, of course, provoking all this hate and violence against us. So they have agreed to end their donations to both the Republican and Democratic Attorneys General Associations.
And is Sean Patrick Maloney, congressperson, going to stop taking money from right-wing organizations for his European trips?
Well, you know, that's a slight distortion of what happened. It was trips funded by a number of organizations, including a right-wing organization.
Read the whole list, Sean.
Yeah, well, my objection is to how much money he spent. Like, he takes a trip to London with his husband, $50,000 reimbursed by the funding organizations. These were bipartisan trips in that there were Democrats and Republicans on them, but there were far more Republicans on these trips than Democrats.
All right. Utah has a constitutional amendment and a law outlawing same-sex marriage that would go back into effect if the Supreme Court overturns the Obergefell decision. So out-state Senator Derek Kitchen, who won the lawsuit for the right to marry in 2013, has introduced a bill to repeal the anti-gay laws, and he has support from members of both parties. But the state Senate President, Stuart Adams, is not only blocking the bill, but ready to band with other states to sue to overturn Obergefell at the Supreme Court. So,
as a viewer reminded us this week, it's Obergefell.
All right, Obergefell. And he's worried too and speaks openly about it. Jim, more states need to get behind the repeal of their anti-gay laws, especially in California, which they're working on.
It's a mess out there. All right. In Colorado, Parker, Colorado, which is a more rural area, a teacher is suing because he says he was fired because he objected to a production of the Laramie Project at his school, which he calls anti-Christian. And he says this is religious discrimination to fire him. The school says that he was objecting not only to that, but to COVID mandates, and clearly was just being too impossible. But he's suing, and we'll see whether he is able to assert a religious right to his views. And
Army Project, good show. The only show I ever invested in the off-Broadway production, which lost money. But it's very successful on college campuses and in high schools. In Tennessee, a court, the three-judge panel, ruled against a Jewish couple that were denied adoption services from a taxpayer-funded adoption agency associated with the Methodist Church. No Jews need apply, the court said, citing the law. Court said as long as there's another agency somewhere in the state that you can use to finish your adoption process, you go there. Don't impose on the Christians and their faith.
And one wonders what the children think of these religious decisions.
I don't know why they worship Jesus, who was a Jew. I mean, you know, come on.
Well, there's a strange story out of California with a New York angle, too. A male couple is suing a fertility clinic, which promised them a male child born to a surrogate. But the child turned out to be a girl, and they're angry about this. and suing the clinic. This is similar to a case in New York a couple of years ago where a lesbian couple wanted a female child and was promised it by a fertility clinic they worked with, and their child turned out to be male, and so they complained about that. I'm not sure whether they sue. I think they did.
Fertility clinics are also on the chopping block at the Supreme Court.
Well, it's just really ugly when people, you know, it's, yes, I understand you made some kind of contract, but really you're going to sue when you don't get the gender of the child you want? Come on.
Yeah.
If you're that upset, give the child up for adoption and try again.
I'm upset with Arizona. They got a new law that you can't film police unless you're at
adopt a child.
In Arizona, new law, you can't film police unless you are at least 8 feet away or you are the one being questioned by the police. That ought to make the police abuse easier. The law violates the First Amendment, but the only one the extreme court cares about is the Second Amendment.
Don't you think you get a better view in the camera if you're 8 feet away? You can capture the whole scene.
It depends. Sometimes you want to get sound.
Oh, yes, yes. If it's interfering with getting sound, I'm with you. In New York, an MTA, Metropolitan Transportation Association subway dispatcher, Catherine Gonzalez, 53 years old, out lesbian, has been severely harassed about her desire to use the bathroom. She is suing because she says that her supervisor was so horrible to her in denying her access to the women's restroom that she ended up holding her need to pee and developed kidney stones.
Her boss, Mervyn Riovan, spit on her at the height of the pandemic when she was promoted from a bus driver to a dispatcher, made so many snide remarks to her. She finally got a transfer, and they transferred him with her to continue to harass her. It's just unbelievable. Made my life a living hell, she said.
I would think so. In Wisconsin, the Supreme Court has decided there, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that trans students don't have to be outed to their parents. The plaintiffs in the case, so their parent or right-wing plaintiffs who brought this case saying schools should have to out trans kids to their parents, kids should not be allowed to choose their names or gender identity at schools without their parents being notified. They can't be private about it. And the court said, no, that's no good. The kids have rights. The plaintiffs, the right-wingers who brought this case, insisted on remaining anonymous in bringing this suit.
Do.
Do you see yourselves? I guess not.
All right. Back in New York in the gays behaving badly department, the new Q Bar in Hell's Kitchen, they ousted partner Frankie Sharp, and he's suing over how the owner, Alan Pekus, for making the club hostile to any group other than white young gay men. Pekus allegedly didn't want patrons who looked like they were from the Bronx or who he called Blatinos and favored white twinks. He allowed drugs in the club, used it as a sex club, and had sex with customers in front of staff, shut out women, indulged underage patrons at the bar. He's been replaced, but Sharp was fired. And the club, which includes Zachary Quinto as an investor, denies all the charges.
Yeah. And Billy Porter was used in some of the promotional materials, too.
Oh, a lot of celebs were involved with it. I mean, they didn't necessarily know what was going on, and I'm sure they condemn it.
And also in New York, in our very own neighborhood, right around the corner, Roxane Gay, a very well-known columnist, writer, and lesbian, has been hanging a pride flag outside her house. I'd show it to you, but I don't want to reveal her exact address. And she got a note from someone in the neighborhood who identified themselves as a Christian, saying that they should take down that flag, that that was inappropriate, and, you know, just set it in the mail out of the blue.
Shoot if you want this old gray head, but spare our movement's flag. Anyway, in Virginia, Republican governor is behaving badly, Glenn Youngkin. He's very smooth. I saw him over the weekend on the talk
show. Oh, very, very.
He has added religious language to the state diversity training, quoting in this diversity training his own inauguration address that every one of us is made in the image of our creator.
Really?
Mass murderers? I mean, you know.
Well, he's right there with Ron DeSantis as being touted as the next Republican presidential candidate.
You're not nasty enough. He doesn't snarl enough.
Well, that's why people think he has a chance. But you're right that he may have a tougher time in the primary not being like that. Good news from Indiana, where a U.S. steel worker has convinced his union to fight for the company, including coverage in their union contract for trans health care for workers and their families. He has a trans daughter. He and his wife fought for this, and they won. And the union went along with it, and the company went along with it. So if you work for U.S. Steel, you can get health care for your trans child or family member.
In New York, again, in response to Drag Queen Story Hour, the right-wing Blue Lives Matter group is pushing Law Enforcement Story Hour to show kids that police officers are not bad and to aid in recruitment, something the drag artists do not engage in during their storytelling.
Correct.
The backers say, we have no problem with the Drag Time Story Hour. You know, we just want the kids exposed to additional voices.
Okay. In Florida, Palm Beach Atlantic University, which is a Christian university, had admitted a new student who they found out was a lesbian. When they found out she was a lesbian, they rescinded her admission on the grounds that it would not be safe to put her in a girl's dorm.
God, good grief.
I got news for you. There are plenty of us in girls' dorms all over the place, and we do not prey on other girls who are not interested.
Well, our books continue to be unsafe in Connecticut and Coventry at the Booth and Dimmock Library. A right-wing mom was offended by a pride display of LGBTQ books. We have a picture. Brought them to the front desk, used hateful language, and demanded that they be burned. The woman identified herself as a Christian taxpayer.
Very disturbing. This is my home state. I hate to think of anyone in Connecticut being so hateful. And there's something about being sent to Coventry. Could we send her to Coventry, which is a phrase meaning silence her? That would be nice. But she seems to be trying to silence the LGBT community. And in Hyde Park, Mass., part of Boston, they're building a new LGBTQ-friendly senior housing. It's just a construction site at the moment, but that didn't stop vandals from showing up and writing, hateful, homophobic language all over the signs.
Well, I mean, the white nationalist anti-LGBTQ Patriot Front was in town, and they are suspected of doing this. You know, the signs say we're going to burn this. You effings are going to die by fire, die slow. The director of the group, Pride, P-R-Y-D-E, which is the name of the residence, said support from the local people has been good. There are going to be 74 units of mixed income housing to open in 2023. Sunday, supporters rallied at the site, including Mayor Michelle Wu and DA Kevin Hayden.
Nice. Well, back to Utah, BYU, you know, is a university that is really has shut down LGBTQ stuff for years. Well, they have program for people to acquire a master's in speech pathology. And so they serve members of the community who need speech pathologists. Well, they have just said they will not help trans people. The master's students are not allowed to have clients who are trans who are trying to amend their vocal presentation.
Is this against God's will?
Of course. Well, the banning is against God's will. In Decatur, Georgia, a trans woman, Erin White, is suing, harassed by her coworkers and her manager, who fired her on the grounds that she was late too often. But she sees through this as a transphobic firing. But good news from Idaho. There's a classic rock radio station there, KKGL, and they have every year during Pride Month, they put up a new logo using the Pride flag. This is the Progress Pride flag with their classic rock logo. Well, some of their listeners complained and were very hateful in their complaints. And so the radio station says, not only are we going to keep doing this, we're going to extend this for months as long as you keep sending hateful messages. Thank you to KKGL.
Good. All right. You ready for international news?
Yes, I am.
We told you last week about the actor Uche Maduagwad, who came out publicly in response to the fact that a Sharia court in the north part of Nigeria sentenced three men to death by stoning. There's his picture. Says he was arrested for this, beaten by security personnel for calling on Biden to sanction the Nigerian president and the that northern state for anti-LGBTQ judgments. He deleted a video of himself tearfully talking about it, but wow, he's a brave guy.
He is, and this wave of violence really is sweeping the world. More about that in a second. But fill us in on the Boris Johnson.
Everybody heard that Boris Johnson announced that he's going to step down when they get a new leader. He didn't resign. He's hanging in there until they get a new leader, probably in September or so. Anyway, so he has survived many, many scandals, you know. But what was it that everybody started to come out and say, I resign, I'm quitting, I hate you? Well, it was because he lied about what this guy with him, Chris Pincher, who was his deputy whip, Pincher had been observed by a bunch of Tories in a private club groping other men. And apparently this happened before. And Boris lied and said, oh, I never heard about this, and I didn't know about the previous incident. And he had all of his aides go out and say, oh, no, no, we didn't know anything about it. And these were the lies. This was what he said. And when he finally was reminded, he said, oh, I forgot about that. So this is, it's sort of like the Profumo scandal, a sex scandal that's going to bring him down. As opposed to all the financial corruption in his administration.
And COVID violations and parties and everything else.
Right.
And Brexit being a bust and an endless list. Well, back to the violence. In Ankara, Turkey, we showed you the Istanbul parade a couple of weeks ago, which was broken up by the government. Well, they did it again in Ankara. Cops using tear gas, arresting 36 people at Pride. All Pride marches have been banned in Turkey, and the government is just relentless about shutting them down.
Well, they're catering to their religious right.
Yeah, the people are not going to stop trying to do this and will prevail, I'm sure, eventually. And Erdogan can't live forever. But again, bravery in Turkey as people come out to defy these laws.
Only the good die young. Back to the United Kingdom, the British Triathlon group has banned trans women from competing against women classified as female at birth. they are establishing a separate category for trans women, sort of like the swimming thing, so that they can continue to participate. There are no trans women in the elite triathlon movement at the moment.
I thought what they were establishing was an open category that would be for everyone, including men, who aren't cisgender women.
So that's what sort of what swimming did. Yes. In Slovenia, the constitutional court there ordered the country to establish marriage equality, put it into immediate effect. Also adoption rights under the Constitution's prohibition of discrimination. Parliament has 6 months to amend the laws, but same-sex couples can marry and adopt now, Slovenia.
Let's get that court to come here and interpret our constitution.
That would be great.
Yes.
It's been, by the way, this was done by the LGBT group there, and it said it took them 25 years.
Never too late.
It took us 25 years just to march on the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Please, and let's not forget. And how long did it take you to pass the non-discrimination law in New York City?
15 years in New York, and it was passed in many other cities elsewhere. And we still haven't passed the Federal Equality Act throughout the entire Congress, just the House, which is run by Democrats. Get it?
And we only decriminalized sodomy in this country in 2003, and that could be gone any minute.
Although I think only 14 states still have it on the books.
They could pass new laws.
Yes, they could.
The Supreme Court in Israel has affirmed that online civil marriages must be recognized. What happens is in Israel, you can only get married in Israel in a religious ceremony. So people who want civil marriage, secular marriages, do it either by getting married in another country, or you can do it online. And particularly in Utah, you can get married as Israelis in Utah.
Including gay people for the moment.
For the moment, gay people can do this too. But they're a little worried that, developments in Utah may mess up.
The Likud party and the religious Zionist party condemn the ruling and they vow legislation to negate it.
Well, they want, I'm sure, only religious marriages, right? Likud wants only religious marriages?
Yes.
Yeah.
In
Zambia, a cisgender woman was barred from the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, I think as a runner. She was judged to have too much testosterone. This policing of people's bodies has got to stop.
Well, let's cheer you up then with the story of Corbin Green, 16, this kid in England. He told his mother, his mum, at the age of 12, he wanted to go to the prom in a gown at Archbishop Sandcroft High School in Harleston, Norfolk, England. He was inspired. We have a picture of him. He was inspired by Billy Porter, and that's what he did at his prom. His mother
He's the one on the right.
His mother was very proud. When he got out of the car, everyone cheered. Teachers were crying because he was being who he wanted to be, the mother said. Corbin already has a drag persona, Miss Frufru. He didn't go to the prom in full drag, but as himself in this picture. He identifies as gay, wants a career in show business, and he wants to be on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, we got a couple of other positive stories. In Berlin, Germany, a mosque has started flying a rainbow flag to indicate that they are a safe space for LGBTQ Muslims. They're getting some blowback from more conservative Muslim sites, but they are devoted to being progressive and welcoming and safe by flying the rainbow flag.
And progress from the World Professional Association for Trans Health, they're not succumbing to the current mood. They're recommending lowering the minimum age for starting gender transition treatment, starting hormones as young as 14, 2 years earlier than previous advice said, Some surgeries, they said, could be done at 15 or 17, a year or so earlier than previous. They say it's unethical and harmful to withhold early treatment. The new recommendations for adults have changed as well.
And the UN Human Rights Council has renewed the tenure of the independent expert on sexual orientation and gender identity as a worldwide monitor of what's going on. 23 nations voted yes, 17 voted no, 7 abstained. It's a good thing those abstainers didn't vote no, or it would not have been renewed.
You may not be thinking of the Ukraine war as much as you were. It continues to be hell. But 28,000 people in the Ukraine petitioned the government to legalize same-sex marriage, and that requires President Zelensky to consider it. Neither marriage nor civil unions are legal there. Same-sex relations are not criminalized, but only about 24% of people polled support same-sex marriage there.
All right. We are not in possession of a lot more time, so let's move on to monkeypox.
Well, I mean, the big news about monkeypox and the thing you need to focus on is that the United States has 17 million vaccines stored in Denmark that we're not getting over here because the FDA said, oh, their license expired and or something in our inspection. We have to do new inspections. The EU has inspected this plant. Good grief. This thing is spreading out of control. So all kinds of public officials, this is what the progress of these lesions is from the time they looks like a pimple and then it gets big and then it pops and then it creates a scab. And that's what it looks like on your arm. It's and it can get all over your face. And I'm not going to show you, but it can get in your genitalia and your anus. So, you know, it's and again, it does clear up event. It does clear up on its own. There's really no treatment for it. There's some pain medication when you're suffering from the symptoms. But, you know, you don't want this. And the more, you know, it's still a huge problem. Gay men are trying to be very responsible, at least by, you know, wanting these vaccines. They get snapped up as soon as they're released. But I also learned those of us who got the smallpox vaccine, it stopped in 1972. We have some immunity, but not entirely. And if we get it, we may get milder symptoms.
All right. Well, I'm sure we could have gotten help from Dr. Joyce Lashoff, but she has died at age 96. She was the director of the Illinois Department of Health in the 70s, where she was very pro-abortion. In the 80s, she was fighting AIDS stigma. She fought South African apartheid. She was a social justice warrior working on issues of race, class, and gender, and finally at the Berkeley School of Public Health, which she ran in Berkeley, California. She was amazing.
A great public health leader, and, you know, at the end of her life, she saw Roe v. Wade crumbling, and she said to her daughter, "How could that have happened?" Anyway, it's up to us to carry on her work.
Exactly. All right. In more entertainment-oriented news, Vogue magazine has put a non-binary person on the cover, Emma Corrin. You may remember her from playing Lady Diana in The Crown. And she is on the cover of Vogue magazine, their first non-binary or out non-binary cover.
The whole issue is, you know, is a celebration of LGBTQ creatives, designers, activists, and stars. Emma says, gender just isn't something that feels fixed with me and never will be.
Yeah. And the Disney Channel has its first trans character on the Disney Channel in Raven Simone's show, Raven's House. So congratulations to them.
In Provincetown, Massachusetts, if you're up there or headed there, the Provincetown Theater, run by David Drake, has a production of Sarah Schulman's new comedy, The Lady Hamlet, up until July 21st. It's a play about a lesbian artist's wish to exist. It is a farce. That's their quote. It's a fencing match over the definition of gender. It sounds quite interesting.
And if you're on Fire Island this weekend, on Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Cherry Grove Community Arts Center, they will be screening the movie we've been recommending to you, Esther Newton Made Me Gay, a documentary about the great theorist, and Esther will be there.
Brazilian actor Johnny Massaro has come out, and that's him on the left there. He has come out in conjunction with his new film, The First Fallen, about the early years of AIDS in Brazil. He's pictured with his childhood friend and now boyfriend, law professor and poet, João Pedro Ascioli. The film is at Outfest in Los Angeles, July 17th, and streaming online, July 18th through 20th. Go to outfestla2022.org. He's known for his TV roles, and he came out because he was playing this big gay role, and he couldn't talk about it without being out, he said.
And Outfest is also going to screen a preview of the Amazon series A League of One's Own. But HBO will not be showing Gentleman Jack anymore. After two seasons, they have decided not to renew it. This is particularly upsetting people in the UK, which is, of course, the home of the story. And there is great furor there about getting a British channel to finance a third season.
Should we do the Emmy nominations?
PBS is running a British show called Antiques Road Trip, which includes an episode where they visit Ann Lister's estate, now a museum. Yeah, okay. Emmy nominations. Well, the most upsetting one is that Dave Chappelle has been nominated for his special, The Closer, which is notoriously transphobic. But Gerard Carmichael was not nominated for Rothaniel, which has been praised to the skies and which we loved. And Gerard is interviewed in the New York Times Magazine this weekend, a very interesting and deep profile of him.
He did get a nomination for being a guest actor in a comedy series on Saturday Night Live. But some of the other out lesbian, gay, LGBT, Kate McKinnon, Saturday Night, Sarah Paulson, and Impeachment, Murray Bartlett, White Lotus, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race, Nathan Lane, Coleman Domingo, Jane Lynch, all got nominations. We'll see.
Queer Eye, Randy Rainbow, Bowen Yang, Hannah Einbinder from Hacks, and Jodie Comer and Sandra Oh were nominated, both of them, for their very, very lesbo-erotic turn on Killing Eve.
And the Leslie Gore Archive is now available at the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts. It's all of her stuff from her entire life, including an unfinished memoir. Her late partner of 30 years, Lois Sasson, worked with the family on putting it together. Leslie died of cancer in 2015, Sasson of COVID in 2020. I'm free and I love to be free, Leslie sang, and her archive is free to view.
You don't own me. It's my party, yes, but you don't own me. It's really the iconic and lasting message from Leslie Gore.
And did you see Showtime is turning fellow travelers about gays in the McCarthy era into a series? That's going to happen with Matt Bomer and Jonathan Bailey.
We're hot. And we will see you next week. Bye.